I have a simple thought that felt like the Lord stirred in my heart this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn, I'm going to read in two places in Proverbs chapter number 26. And then when you found your place there, you can also find Acts chapter number 28. Proverbs 26 and Acts chapter number 28. Desire your prayers tonight that the Lord would help us, that we'd say what He wants to be said, and that it would be a help and an encouragement and blessing to you as we meet together tonight. Proverbs 26 and Acts 28. When you found your place, if you'd like to stand, we'll do so out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading in Acts 28. And read a few verses here, and then I just want to read part of a verse in Proverbs chapter 26. But in Acts 28, we know the story of Acts 27 about the storm that the Apostle Paul and these sailors and prisoners find themselves in, and about the word of God that comes to Paul that everyone will make it. And then at the end of chapter 17, we find out that all escape safe to land. In chapter 28 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And when they were escaped," that is, from the sea, "then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain, and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Now I want to read the first part of verse number 3 again, and then read a portion of a verse in Proverbs 26. It said, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire." And in Proverbs 26 and verse 20, the first part of the verse says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. If I had a title or a thought tonight, it would be "Putting Wood on the Fire." I understand that in its context now, I don't think I'm doing any discredit to the Scripture, but in its context, Proverbs 26 and verse number 20 is talking about the tongue and it causing strife among the brethren. And it talks about it. James said, "The tongue is a fire, and it's set on fire of hell, and it's a member of our body that no man can tame." And so in its context, that's what Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 is talking about. Where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tail bearer, the strife ceaseth. And so that is the context of the application in its context. But I feel like I'm justified in making an application and drawing a parallel from that verse to the verses that were read in Acts chapter 28 and Proverbs 26 and verse 20 is the writings of Solomon. And in all his wisdom, yet Solomon writes it pretty plain and pretty simple to understand that where there is no fire, where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. And I thought about, you know, the song we sung tonight. There is two representations of the fire. The fire oftentimes And the Word of God represents the presence of God. And there are two types of the presence of God. There is His abiding presence, which is what the writer was talking about when they wrote the song that the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. That is the abiding presence of God. But there is more to His presence than just His abiding. He made us the promise that He would never leave us and never forsake us, but that He would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. That is His abiding presence. That is available, and it is obtained by every child of God, His abiding presence. Every person that is saved has the abiding presence of the Spirit of God. But not everyone that's saved experiences the manifested presence of God. And that is what the fire that I want to preach about or speak about for just a few minutes tonight. It's that manifested presence that we have been so blessed and so honored and privileged to have seen in these days. And the Bible said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Now the reality is, and I think I'm preaching this right, it's what's in my heart, that there is nothing that we have to do as a child of God to maintain the abiding presence of God. It just is so when we're born again. But there is a responsibility on our part as the people of God to maintain the manifested presence in our lives. See, we're living in a day, and the Lord just put three words on my heart, and I want to preach them to you about the fire tonight, and then we'll go home. We're living in a day when the fire is fading. I'm not talking about His abiding fire. He made us a promise that He would be with us to the end of the world. And so that's not going to change in the last days. But it seems to me among the people of God that the manifested presence of God is fading away. That we don't have the power that we once had. That many times, and I know that we just come through a wonderful meeting and God manifested Himself more than one night, and I'm so appreciative. And so that's why it's so real and stirring in my heart that if we don't take the initiative and the responsibility, then the fire will fade again. Just because we had a good meeting doesn't mean that the fire will continue to burn if we don't do our part to keep it that way. Now there's a fine line about our responsibility, but this is the way that God put it in my heart. I believe that the fire should not be fading, but the fire should be fueled. And the fuel for the fire, I believe if I read my Bible right, is our responsibility. That we are to bring in the fuel. And I say that everything that you may obtain in the week by the help of God is needed in the church. Whether you feel like you got a bundle of sticks, whether you feel like you got one branch or a handful of leaves, or you got a log truckload of logs, whatever you have is necessary for the fire. See, I thought today while I was sitting there, and it's just simple, I know it is, but it's been working in my heart that when I go out to my wood stove, I got one of them outdoor boilers, and the roof of that thing is made on the inside in waves. And so you can put big pieces at the bottom, but when you get to the top, the size of the wood has to change. And that's the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said that's how it is in the church. We're not all the same. We're not all going to come in with the same, but everything you have is necessary for the fire. Some of us may come in with logs big around, and that's necessary for the fire. But have you ever tried to kindle a fire with a log? Don't work. Got to have some of them shavings. Got to have some dry leaves. Got to have some small sticks. And so what I'm trying to encourage you tonight is this. Don't worry about whether you do it like somebody else. Just do it like it's in your heart. Bring what you have and put it on the fire and watch it burn. And so the fuel is our responsibility. We read in the Bible where Elijah went to the widow at Zarephath, and she was outside of the gate of the city, and she said, I've got two sticks, and that's all she had, but that's all she needed. And I'm telling you in this day, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't measure your testimony as far as being saved to somebody else. Just give what you have, what you know's in your heart, and let God use it to fuel the fire, and let's keep it burning. Amen. Good preaching, brother. But a fire, it can have all the wood it wants to, but if it don't get fanned, it'll never burn. Right. See, the fuel is our part and the fanning is God's. Yeah. And I assure you that if we'll bring the fuel, he'll do the fanning. I assure you that if we labor and come in, and if all you have, and I'm not talking about being spiritually lazy, you got to understand what I'm saying, but if all you can get in the week is two sticks, then I'd bring my two sticks in and say, God, I know it may not seem like much, but I believe you give it to me, and I'm going to throw my sticks on the fire and let you make it burn and let it burn in my heart again. That's right. Some weeks we live in the flesh. Some weeks are better than others. Some weeks you may come in and feel like you brought a wagon load of wood. And that's good, because the one that brought a wagon load last week may be the one that's got a few sticks this week. And then you may be the one that's just got the few sticks next week. And somebody else has got the wagon load. You understand what I'm saying? Let's do our part. Take our responsibility and bring what we can get. And let the Lord fan the fire with the wind from yonder's world. And let it burn again. See, there are some benefits to this fire. We've seen them. The fire will repel the cold. Real fire will repel the cold. Now, I read my Bible. I think John was the one that wrote it in his gospel about when Peter, when they arrested the Lord and Peter followed afar off, and the Bible said that he warmed himself by a fire of coals. Now we have to understand that coals do still have heat, but they don't have the heat like a roaring fire does. And about all the coals do, when I thought about how the fire's fading seemingly inside the house of God, about all the coals do is knock the chill off and make it where you can tolerate the cold. I don't know about you, but it's in my heart. I don't want to tolerate the cold. That means to get accustomed to it or to get comfortable with it. But if you ever get out in the cold and you get around a roaring fire, if you step away from the fire or if the fire dies down, you instantly know that it ain't like it once was. Think about the Apostle Paul. They have, if you read the book of Acts 27, they have been thrust into the sea in the winter. And so they're wet and they're cold. And if they don't get around the fire, then they're probably going to die. And I'm going to tell you in our day, if the church don't bring some fuel and put it on the fire and beg God to fan it again, there's some people among us that are going to die if we don't do it. Not only does fire keep out the cold, but fire will take care of all them things that want to bother and bite you. See, the Apostle Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and he put them on the fire. And when he put them on the fire, the viper came out and fastened on his head. But I'm glad for what the Bible said, that he just shook it off in the fire and the fire took care of it. We got a lot of people in our day that are walking around. I'm not saying, I'm not preaching at you or on you tonight, but I'm saying we've got people in the church that are walking around with things hanging off of them, things that have latched onto them in the world and from the devil, and it's got them weighted down and bared down, and if they could just get around the fire and shake them things off, the fire will take care of it. I believe that's right, don't you? And by the way, while I'm there, about that thing about bringing fuel, I read where there's a whole bunch of people on board this ship. And they all got off the boat. Every single one of them, the Bible said in verse 37, and we were in all in the ship, 216 souls, 276 people on board. But it only records one man going to get fuel for the fire. But thank God for that one man that brought the fuel, and it benefited all 276. I'm going to tell you and be honest, okay? It's just us right here, and I'm going to preach. That's on my heart. There are days I come in and feel like I might have a stick or two. But then there are other days that I come in and feel like I ain't got nothing. I couldn't even sweep a dustpan full of sawdust and bring it to the house of God. But thank God for some men and women who have God had put on them a bundle of sticks to bring in the house of God. And it benefits all that are in the house. It don't matter where the wood comes from, as long as we got some to put it on the fire. It don't matter whether I bring it, and I understand there's an expectation, and there ought to be. I'm the pastor. I ought to seek God, and I try my best to, but some days I just ain't got it. And if you want to be honest with yourself, some days you just ain't got it. But I'm glad God knows and makes preparation, and the days I ain't got it, I'm glad somebody else has. And I'm glad for men and women who don't look around. Now, Paul could have said, I ain't putting this on here. If y'all want to get warm, go get your own bundle of sticks. But Paul didn't say that. He just went and got the bundle because he loved the men. They were all prisoners. They all deserved to be in the shape they were in. Paul didn't deserve it. He was just a preacher of the gospel. But there was a love in his heart to get them some fire. And so he went to get some wood to keep the fire going. I'm going to tell you what we need in this day, in 2020, is not jealousy and envy and strife among the brethren. And we don't need people to come in. I'm just preaching tonight because it's on my heart. And I'm feeling pretty good. Feel better tonight than I did this morning. But I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of people that think, well, I ain't doing nothing if nobody else ain't going to. Hey, the reality might just be that nobody else has anything. And God wants you to start the fire again. Let's take what we have, what God has provided for us. And it all comes from Him anyway. Paul didn't go out there and make a tree grow and make its branches grow and break the branches off and bring them to the fire. Oh no, God's the one that made the tree grow, and God's the one that made the branches come out, and God's the one that made the branches fall off for Paul to have a place to pick them up from. And so everything we have comes from God anyway. Who are we to hoard it and keep it back? Let's throw it on the fire and watch it burn in our church again. I want to say last thing, I'm done. The fire don't just provide a benefit of warmth, and it don't just keep off those things that are against us or that would weigh us down or latch on to us. But the fire provides a light in the darkness. And we're in the darkest day that the church has ever known. Now, I understand that Noah's day was probably darker, but before it gets over with, we're going to be in Noah's day again. But I'm talking about the church as we know it, the New Testament church. These are the darkest days that we've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you, a fire is easy to spot in the darkness. I'm not talking about a bunch of smoke. I'm talking about a fire. And it's easy to see. You know what happened? We preached or attempted to this morning about Elijah on Carmel that day. You know what happened? It was a dark day in the lives of the people of God. They had forsaken God and went after false gods and idols. But thank God for the fire that fell and lit up the darkness of their day. And it can do it in ours too. Amen. That's why Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." You can't hide a fire in the dark. I don't care what you do, it cannot be hid. And that's why he said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to say in simple language, like Solomon put it, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. God help me. I can't do anything for you. I want to. I'm trying to preach to you tonight, and the Lord's trying to help us all to realize that we need to do our part, do our responsibility, and get everything we can get to go on the fire. And if we'll bring the fuel, you just watch the Lord fan. When that breeze from yonder's world blows, we might think it's dead and we might think it's dry. I'm going to tell you what, I've got up some mornings and went out to the stove and opened the door and it looked like it was all dead and dry. But you can throw a few sticks on there of some good small dry wood that you and I sometimes feel like on our worst days and our worst weeks, we don't have anything much to bring. Just bring what you have, and as soon as the wind hits that, the embers glow and it sparks a spark, and before long there's a flame again. Right. And the flame's still rolling. Let's not let it die down. Let's not let it fade out. God help me to do my part. If all I can bring, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm just preaching, all right, just bearing my heart to you. I mean, we're all family. We're just going to be honest with one another. I ain't felt like I had too much fire today and too much wood. But if I just had a stick or two, I just want to put it on the fire and let somebody else bring theirs. I'm going to tell you something. We may feel like we've all, and I know we've had a good week of meeting, but I'm talking about in our flesh we're tired and we feel like maybe we don't have too much. But if we just all brung a stick or two, reckon how much fire that would be, how much fuel for the fire. Just don't criticize what you have. Just take what God gives you and put it on it. Let's see what the Lord does. He's still wanting to. He has no problem fanning the fire. But sometimes we have a problem bringing in some fuel. I don't know about you tonight, but I just want to do my part. If it's a handful of sticks, and it may not look like much, but I'm glad that it'll start somewhere. Maybe you might have just a handful of sticks. Maybe God's blessed you with a stick or two of wood. That's some good dry wood to bring in. Just bring it and let's put it on the fire. As we stand all over the house tonight, I don't know what you need to do, but it's on my heart to tell you, let's bring some fuel for the fire. Maybe you just need the Lord's help. Maybe you need to talk to Him. Maybe you need to commit to Him and say, "Lord, if it's just a stick or two that others might overlook, we're not doing it for everybody else anyway, we're doing it for Him. And if He just wants our stick or two, let's just bring what we have and put it on the fire." Would you come tonight? Some have come. Maybe others need to. Whatever you need to do, you need to talk to Him about what you can do, about what's available for you, about bringing the fuel, about bringing some sticks, about bringing some wood, about doing our responsibility, about keeping the fire going. Where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. I don't want it to go out, do you? God help us tonight. God help us tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity, Lord, to have been able to gather in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's come and for their presence here in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for the very simple thought that you've laid on my heart. But, oh, Lord, how profound it is that we need to understand where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. Help me, Lord, to do my part. Lord, I can't expect anybody else to if I won't do my part. Help me, Lord, to bring what you give me. Lord, help me not be critical of what comes from heaven. Lord, if it comes from you, Lord, it'll be what's right, needful, and necessary. Lord, I pray for others that they wouldn't examine themselves in light of someone else, Lord, but they'd just take what you're pleased to give them and bring it and put it on the fire. That, Lord, the fire could keep burning, that the fuel would remain there, and that the fanning of heaven would light the spark and keep it kindled in our church and among our people. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd help us in these days to maintain the power of God. I know, Lord, there are days that it's difficult. One of your choice men said the hardest thing that one Christian will ever do is to maintain the power of God in their life. Now understand, Lord, it's a battle and a struggle against the flesh, but I'm glad, Lord, that it is possible. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to do our part, to do our best, to maintain what you've done in us. Now I know, Lord, it's not up to us, but Lord, would we just take our responsibility, help us to pray and seek your face, and read and study and seek after, Lord, some good wood to bring in, that you could fan the fire and keep it blowing and glowing in our hearts in these days. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And I thank you, Lord, for what is ahead for us in the day's future. And Lord, above everything, would you get glory and honor unto yourself, we pray. And we ask all that we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.